Man, next, Anna Grace. Y'all know Anna Grace? Give Anna Grace some love. Thank you for being here, Anna Grace. Anna Grace is actually 1 month away from marrying the guy on the drums, Mr. Jaden. Come on. It's going to be sweet. Anna Grace is the second best part about Jaden after Jesus. And he knows it, too. He knows it, okay? Hey, lean in one more time, would you? Anna Grace is about to share her story in just a unique way. Just God put her on my heart a week ago, and just said, would you come share your story? And I'm not sure it needs to be the moment of salvation. I think it needs to be what you're walking in right now, and it's going to minister to you. And so just before we do, let's pray real quick and just make that deliberate choice right now, because I feel like God is saying, choose me, like select me for us in this moment and for you in this moment. And so just hands open and heart soft, Lord, God, we choose you, and I pray that over every name in this room, what we just lifted up, the name of Jesus, would unlock hardness, so that you would step over hardness in this room, Lord, and that we would be drawn near to you to know that you're God of unconditional love and glory and power and kindness and mercy and grace. Lord, you're slow to anger and you're quick to forgive. That's who you really are. We open our hearts for every lie to be corrected and just pray you would minister powerfully through my sister, Anna Grace, as she speaks of who you are. Let us listen with receptive ears. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That song is so powerful to me because I think a lot of times in our lives, we don't always have the words to pray. We don't always have the right things to say, but there's just times when we can just say Jesus. We can just speak his name over any and all situation, and I think it's the perfect song to go before kind of what I'm going to share in my story and kind of what I've walked through in the past few years and even kind of how it pertains to today. And so the focus of a lot of my testimony of this past year has been very similar to the book of Job, if you've read it, and Psalm 62. And I'm going to go into that. But before I start reading those scriptures, I kind of want to fill you in. About 2 years ago now, I went through an extremely difficult, probably one of the hardest things I've walked through in my life. While sparing you the details, I felt very hurt, very betrayed. I lost so much trust to the point of where I've had to actively rebuild that trust as I've walked into a new season. I lost friends. I left my job. And during the season, my grandpa also passed away. My mom was struggling with health issues, and then my family was going through a financial crisis. And so all of that just kind of fell on me. I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. I felt very alone. I felt very confused because I had a clear, defined purpose. I had a job that I loved. I was doing it. I was in the work. I was going. I had so much community, and all of a sudden, in just a second, it was all taken away. And I was so confused. I was so confused why this would happen and why God would allow this to happen to me and to my family, although we were good people. But I was reminded of the scripture in Romans that says, none are righteous, not even one. And so why? And even Jesus says, why do you call me good? For only my Father in heaven is good. And so I wasn't focusing anymore on, okay, why did this happen? Because none of us are good. But I was still just so struggling with the heartache and what I was going through. And a lot of times I started to blame God. I started to be frustrated. And that can be the story of a lot of us in here, that we might blame God or we might be angry with God. And I think something that the Lord was beckoning my heart to share with you guys tonight is that it's okay to be honest about those frustrations. It's okay to be honest with the Lord about what you're going through. We see David in the Psalms talk about literally to anything and everything with God. He's honest. He bears his soul. He says things that most of us wouldn't want to speak out loud to God. And so it's okay to be honest with him. And when I realized that, I knew that the only thing that I could do in this season where I was so lost and so confused was turn to Jesus and be honest. And say, God, this sucks. This really, really sucks. And I am so frustrated. I'm so angry. God, I'm so confused. I feel so alone. And I truly believe he heard me and all of that. And after I sought him, after I turned to him, it was actually a moment when I was sitting at a gas station of all places. And a lot of times you think that you can only encounter God in your prayer closet or on nights like these, but you can actually encounter him anywhere in the most ordinary places, at a gas station, driving to work. And I was at this gas station, I was stopped, and I was just sitting there as I was waiting for the tank to be filled. I heard God speak to me, "Anna Grace, I'm going to double everything. I'm going to double it all." And if you've read the book of Job before, we see that Job, he was a man who God called righteous, and that he was upright and he feared the Lord. This is the book of Job. And as Job is living his life, he has an abundance of possessions. He's blessed. The enemy comes to God and says, "But what would Job do if he lost everything? How righteous would Job be then?" And the Lord says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job?" And I just felt like I wanted the Lord to say that of me, that when the enemy comes to him and asks to test me, that God says, "Have you considered my servant Anna Grace? Have you considered her righteousness? Have you considered her faithfulness?" And so it was in this time that I was like, I have to cling to the Lord more than anything and cling to his promise. He told me he was going to double all of it. And as I was reading through the book of Job, in this story, at the end, we literally see God, after Job loses everything. Job loses his health, his house, his family, his possessions. He loses everything. And at the end of it, Job had already wrestled with God. He had been honest with God about his struggle, about what he was going through. And at the end, he repented and he told God, "Lord, I trust you. I know that your ways are higher than my ways." And God honored his struggle, honored his honesty. And in return, he blessed him double. And the verse that says, that's so powerful to me, it's in Job 42:10. It's a really long book. There's lots of struggle. But Job 42:10 says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." I know that there are people in this room that are in a waiting season. You're waiting for healing. You're waiting for a job to come through. You're waiting for your finances to come through. You're waiting for a loved one to come to know the Lord. You're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting, and it feels like all you ever do is wait. It feels like what you need, what you want, is never going to come. And I want you to know that the Lord sees you. There's a name in the Bible for God. It's El Roy, and it means the God who sees you. And I want you to know that he sees you tonight. He sees you in your waiting season. He sees the endless turmoil you're going through. He sees the nights that you spend awake. He sees you. And he wants you to go to him. He wants you to bring all of this to him. And I think that the Lord wanted me to share this tonight because this was such a testimony in my life, that for so long I was avoiding God when I should have been running to him. And finally, when I did run to him, y'all, I can say that after 2 years of that season, I'm literally standing. As I stand on this stage right now, he has doubled everything in my life. He has doubled it. And I can't help but be so grateful and have so much gratitude that he brought me to a place with a job that I love. He surrounded me with community, the best friends that I have ever had, some of them literally sitting right here, that have loved on me and shown me the light of the Lord more than anything in my life. He's doubled it. And even in that, there's still prayers that haven't been answered. Whether they're not answered in the way that I think they are, or they haven't been answered yet, I can still rejoice. But I can still sit with the Lord and wait. And so I just want to encourage you guys tonight to wait well. To wait well. Not to wait with avoiding God and to run from him, but to wait in his presence, to wait with him. And Psalm 62, it says, Psalm 62, 1 through 2 says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." And it repeats it again in verse 5. "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge to us. And in Matthew 11, 28, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Pour out your heart before him, it says in Psalm 62. Have you poured out your heart to God? Have you ever let yourself just genuinely pour it all out? Because when I did that, it transformed everything. It transformed my mind. It transformed the way that I viewed the things that I was going through. It transformed the way that I trusted and loved on those around me. So we can come to him. We can come to a God who knows suffering, who knows grief. The Son of Suffering, a song we sing here often. He bore our shame. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. He knows sorrow. He's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our doubt. You can say, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's times when we're not going to understand what the Lord is doing, or why he's shaking the ground, or why he's changing these things in our lives. And if there's something in your life right now that you're identifying, that you're waiting on, just wait well. Don't just praise him when he answers it. Praise him right now. Praise him continually, not contingently. Because when we praise him contingently, we're only praising him because of what he does, not because of who he is and his nature. So right now, I just want to invite you guys, those of you that are in the room that have something that you're waiting for, that has something that's burdening your heart, that's heavy on your spirit, that you feel like you're walking with, I just want to invite you all to bow your heads right now. And if there's something that you're waiting on, that you're praying for, that you're fighting through, I want to encourage you to just get on your knees before the Lord right now. No one's looking around, no one's watching, but just get on your knees before the Lord. This is a position of humility. You're saying, God, I lay it all at your feet. Humbly before you, I bow. And right now, just confess it all to him. Confess what you've been waiting for. Confess what you've been praying for, and be honest. Tell him of your anxiety. Tell him of your fear. Tell him of your doubt. Tell him of your questions. Tell him of your pain, your heartache. Confess it to him right now. Don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back, because he already knows. He just wants to hear it from you. Lord, we lay it all at your feet. Don't let me stop you. Don't let these next worship songs stop you. If you need to spend time in prayer, continue laying it before him. But God, we lay everything at your feet. Lord, we want to wait well. We want to wait with you well. We don't want to wait alone anymore. We want to wait by your side, trusting that what you have promised, what you have purposed will prevail. God, that you are not a God, you are not man that you should lie, or God that you would change your mind. Lord, the plans that you have for us, you have good plans for us, Jesus. So I pray, Lord, that we would trust that. I pray that even when the answer isn't what we want, God, that we would trust that it's the best thing for us. Lord, that we would know that you're holy and righteous, God, and nothing that you can do is an error. You didn't make a mistake. God, we love you, and we thank you that you comfort the brokenhearted and you save the crushed in spirit. We thank you that you're the God of all peace. We thank you that you're the great physician, the great healer. So, Lord, I pray for everything in this room, all the things that people are waiting for, God, that they would come to pass, God, that your promises would be fulfilled, that your purposes would be done. Lord, I pray for healing, for restored marriages, restored relationships. I pray for addictions to break. I pray for healing in any and all situations, God, in physical and mental, God. I pray for anxiety and depression. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would meet these people in the hour of their need, God, and that you would meet it in abundance. Lord, we thank you for your provision. And I pray that we would continue to worship you tonight and completely in holy focus on you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.